Terry Hopp has been a senior solutions engineer at Talend since April 2011. He works with account executives to demonstrate Talend's open source products, big data, DI, DQ, MDM, and MBM to prospects, as well as assisting with proof of concept and pilot programs. Previously, he worked with another data management company, Evolutionary Technologies International, ETI, as a consultant, trainer, solutions engineer, and a custom support representative. He holds a bachelor's degree in MIS from Texas A&M. Please welcome Terry.
Can everybody hear me okay? Is that good? All right, make sure I get this thing working right. So first of all, I want to start off with a little history lesson. So any history buffs out there might recognize this gentleman. His name is Roald Amundsen, and he was a Norwegian explorer that discovered the South Pole back in 1911. Okay, and he was on this, you know, great journey, a big race, actually racing against a British explorer named Robert Scott. And he ended up beating Robert Scott to the finish line by 3 weeks. And, you know, he, in his own words, he said that the greatest factor in him winning the race was that he was equipped correctly. Okay, so, you know, before he went on this journey, he spent some time with the Eskimos that were up there, you know, because they were, you know, familiar with the territory, knew the conditions, and, you know, they told him, you know, what type of equipment, you know, he should use. So he had sled dogs. He, you know, had sleds that were lightweight so that, you know, they would go faster. And they also, you know, suggested, you know, what type of clothing to wear. So, you know, they suggested wearing, you know, reindeer-lined coats instead of wool, which is, you know, warmer. You know, so he had the equipment that he needed, where Mr. Scott, you know, he had gone on plenty of journeys himself, you know, thought he knew it all out there, but he didn't go and, you know, do his research and, you know, find out what the best equipment was, what the best clothes were. And so, you know, as I mentioned, he was there, you know, 3 weeks late, and actually ended up, all of his men died on the way back. So, you know, very unfortunate event for him. But the moral of the story is, you know, you really need the right equipment for the right task. And so you're probably, you know, asking, you know, how is this related to big data? Well, in a way, you know, big data really is, you know, a journey on its own, you know, a very complicated journey for a lot of companies, because you have, you know, these business requirements that are just, you know, changing very rapidly. You have your, you know, your CEOs, your CFOs, vice president of marketing, other people in your company that are, you know, asking, demanding access, you know, to your data, a lot more access to data, and they want it to be, you know, a lot faster access to your data. Okay. And the recipes for the, you know, the past for data integration, they just really don't work anymore, you know, for big data. All right, so some changes need to be made. You need to use the right tools, you know, for the right task, in this case for big data. And, you know, fortunately, you know, the, you know, big data pioneers that have been, you know, working with the software over the years, you know, they've really paved a you know, road for us, you know, to get there. Oops, sorry. And then here's just some quotes just to show the big data, the economics of big data. And so I like this one here by George Dyson. You know, big data is what happened when the cost of keeping information became less than the cost of throwing it away. You know, because before you could keep all this information, and nowadays you can keep it, and it really adds to, you know, the value of what you're looking at. You can analyze, you know, with more data, you can make better, you know, analysis. Your predictive analysis is better. And just some other examples here that, you know, there's a 45 times savings using Hadoop versus your traditional databases. And Neuralstar, you know, they moved from storing 1% of data for 60 days, so 1% for 60 days, to 100% for 1 year. So you can just imagine, you know, how much more analysis you can do on that data, you know, how much better results you're going to have, you know, with that data. And just a couple more over there, $600 billion revenue shift by 2020 to companies that use big data effectively. And, you know, 10 years ago, the choices that were made for your, you know, integration processes, you know, they were good back then. They made sense for what you were working on. But they don't address the trends that are, you know, changing the enterprise software environment of today. And these trends are your real-time processing, big data, your cloud computing, as well as your mobile applications. And so this is an opportunity for massive market changes. And Talon is taking advantage of that. And then there's also some more reports and some sources from Gartner and Cisco. The amount of data will grow 50 times between 2010 and 2020. I mean, just imagine 50 times the amount of data that's there now. That's just amazing. Now, the 64th Enterprises Survey indicated they're deploying or they're planning to deploy big data in the near future. So obviously we know it's big. It's out there. And then by 2020, 55% of CEOs will source all their critical apps in the cloud. And today every organization out there really needs to be data driven to be successful, to be competitive. And so what is data driven? It's looking at all the sources you have out there. You have your traditional databases such as your relational databases, your Excel files, CSV files, your cloud or SaaS applications such as Salesforce, Redshift, web services, APIs, all your real-time connections that you need to have, and then all the new emerging technologies such as your Hadoop, your Hive and MongoDB and all that. Who knows what's going to be in the future? I mean, technology is changing so fast. I mean, I've just been working with big data just for a couple of years, and already the stuff I knew a year ago is just like it's not even there anymore. So it's just amazing technology how quickly it's moving on. And with all this new technology, old technology, new technology, trying to bring all that together, you're going to have siloed data. You're going to have a lot of data quality issues trying to bring all this data together, as well as latency issues, trying to get data off the mainframe into your other systems out there on the cloud. So you've got latency problems. And then probably top of the list is just your lack of talent and skills. Let's say mainframe, kind of hard to find mainframe programmers these days if you still need those. But then also with the MapReduce, MapReduce programmers, they're more difficult to find, going to be more expensive, as opposed to Java programmers, for example. And so all of this new technology, all this data, it's really putting all the existing infrastructures under distress, both architecturally, with just the large amount of data coming in. So trying to load this data into your standard relational databases or flat files or any of that, I mean, it just becomes very difficult to do. It's not very scalable. Of course, you could throw money at it, buy a lot more machines, but that gets very expensive. That's where you're economically under duress. And then going from batch to real time. These days, people need information much faster than they used to. So batch processes, they're still there, but real time is much more important. And then the need for more active data. As I showed in the earlier slide where they went from 1% in 60 days to 100% for a year. And they now they have more data that they can act upon and make more decisions, more accurate decisions based on that data. And so the old systems, it's difficult to keep up with all this. So the benefits of Hadoop and NoSQL is with Hadoop, it's very scalable. So obviously you can buy as many clusters as you need. The hardware is much less expensive than your traditional hardware. And for batch to real time, so the processing speed for the NoSQL databases, for example, just makes it easier to get access to that data, to do more analytics on that data. And then the longer active data. So now you can store more data, you can do more analysis on it, and keep it out there longer. You don't have to worry about merging your data after a month, for example. And then, how is this related to your world? Obviously, if this you don't care about it, then you wouldn't be here. So, just a few things to go over. I'm not going to cover them all here, but, for example, for real-time, so, real-time offers and personalization. So, maybe you go to the store and you buy a product, give them your email address or, sign up for their group or whatever, and, you'll start getting coupons from them based on what you bought. All right, so they could personalize different things for you based on your actions. Healthcare, personalized healthcare, based on your diagnosis as well as genomic computation. So being able to compute these very complex, you know, DNA patterns, different things like that. And then consumer product, you know, your sentiment analysis. And I'm sure you've all seen this. You're on, you know, Amazon or something, and you are on Facebook or whatever, and you click on something, and the next time you pull it up or even deal somewhere else, you're getting advertisements based on what you were looking at. You know, so that's just, to me, that's pretty amazing. And obviously, there's a lot more. I'm not going to cover them all right now. So now let's just talk about the top big data challenges. So a few months ago, Gartner went out and, you know, interviewed a couple hundred people, you know, just like you, people out there that are working on big data, and they came up with a list of challenges. And these are the top 10 challenges, and we'll just, you know, quickly go through a few of them. So the very first one, you know, determining how to get value from big data. And obviously that's important. So you can take, you know, all the data that you have, you can load it somewhere, and then what are you going to do with it? If you don't have any purpose for it, then it's really a waste of everybody's time. So, you know, getting that value out of that data is very important. You know, defining your strategy. I've talked to, you know, being a solutions engineer, I'm really talking to people who are just starting their process. You know, they have big data initiatives, but not sure what they want to do. So, you know, they don't really have a strategy yet. I've talked to a lot of people like that. Yes, we want to do big data, but they have no clue what it is. Okay, so that's very important. And then obtaining skills and capabilities. So I mentioned that earlier. You know, trying to get you know, MapReduce programmers, different things like that. That's, you know, more difficult these days. Integrating multiple data sources. You know, so trying to get mainframe data, you know, into your Hadoop environment. You know, different things like that. Yeah, you know, that's obviously not a very simple task to do. You have to have a whole lot of different types of skill sets to be able to do that. And then integrating infrastructure and or architecture. So, you know, you want to do big data, you want to do Hadoop, but where do you even start? I mean, do you want to use Cloudera? Do you want to use Hortonworks, MapR? Do you want to build it yourself? So, you know, the whole infrastructure and architecture, you know, it's very difficult to come up with. And then obviously the funding, and then, I'm sorry, risk and governance issues. You know, with all this data coming in, that data needs to be secured and private. Okay, so those are some of the, you know, top big data challenges. And I just want to give you a brief history of Hadoop and Talend. Talend, in 2006, that's when we put out our first product, our Open Studio for data integration. And at the same time, that's when the Apache project was established. And this is just showing that, you know, as time has gone on, we've stayed very close to Apache and what's happening in big data. That's a very high priority for us. So you see in 2010, that's when, you know, the Hortonworks and Cloudera started becoming more important. I started having the distributions out there. At the same time, you know, Talend released their product 5.4, which supported Hive and HDFS. And then in 2013-14, Hortonworks 2 came out with Yarn and Hadoop 2, and our next version of the software, which was 5.5, supported both of those. So again, just showing that we are very close to Apache, very close to Hadoop and big data, and keeping up with those technologies. So now let's talk a little bit about Talend and what it is. So Talend is really the best way to get rid of manual coding and hand coding. Okay, Talend is a code generator. We generate Java, MapReduce, as well as SQL, you know, different types of code based on what you're trying to do. So you don't have to really learn MapReduce or Spark. You know, you don't have to be a programmer. Just drag and drop, fill in the important information, and it'll generate the code in the back. So we're trying to get from here. So this is just a, you know, schematic of a MapReduce job. So this is kind of the flow of the MapReduce and, you know, what the different steps look like, which obviously is, you know, looks like it's pretty difficult. And then, you know, the underlying code. So trying to get from that to this. So again, it's just drag and drop. It's going to generate the code that you can actually run natively. So I said, like I said, it generates MapReduce code that you can run natively in your Hadoop cluster. So quickly go over the Talend platform. So Talend started out with data integration. As I mentioned earlier, that was our first release of the software. And data integration, you know, is used for getting data into and out of your traditional sources, your relational databases, Excel, CVS, as well as, you know, Salesforce, different things like that. And then data quality. So data quality is part of data integration, where you perform, you know, profiling against your data. You do matching analysis, deduplication processing, address standardization, different things like that. And then big data. So big data really is a part of data integration. It just has components to load into your big data or Hadoop environment. And then we have MDM for master data management, ESB for your enterprise service bus. So that allows you to access in real time web services. You can create your own web services as well as access other web services. And then BPM for your business process management, also known as workflow management. And the last thing to mention is what's called a Talon Big Data Sandbox. And this is a sandbox that you can download. So it's a virtual machine you can download from a website. It has either of the distributions on there. You can choose if you want Cloudera, Hortonworks, or MapR. And then it has a Talon Studio already installed, ready to go. And so that's a good way to, if you're just getting started with big data and Hadoop, to go test it out and also to see what Talon can do. And there's also four scenarios for you to try on there. There's a clickstream data analysis scenario, Twitter sentiment analysis, Apache web logs, and then ETL offload. So that's basically taking data, maybe from flat files, loading them to Hive or HDFS, also MongoDB, Cassandra is also available on there. And that is the end of my presentation. Thank you very much.